I'm Avi Arditi with Roseanne Skirbel, and this week on Wordmaster, Charles Harrington Elster, author of The Accidents of Style, Good Advice on How Not to Write Badly.
It's full of examples, such as this common error.
What you need to remember is that its is indicates possession without an apostrophe, I-T-S, and I-T apostrophe S is a contraction of it is. So if you realize that you are writing or saying it is, you need the apostrophe. When you are not, when you do not intend to write it is, then no apostrophe. It's the possessive pronoun it.
The problem with its and its also is that they sound the same as your and your and there. What is your suggestion for words that may sound alike but are spelled differently and have very different meanings?
Unfortunately, you have to learn them by rote. You have to memorize or perhaps use a mnemonic device, a memory aid. I offer some sentences as mnemonic devices in the book so that you can remember that T-H-E-R-E indicates a place over there and that T-H-E-I-R indicates possession, their feelings, and T-H-E-Y apostrophe R-E. Whenever you see that apostrophe in the middle of a word, you know it's a contraction, so it's got to be they are.
What about the confusion between infer and imply? A lot of people get that wrong.
A lot of people do confuse infer and imply. The best way to remember that distinction, I think, is to remember that when you imply, you are making a suggestion. You are like the baseball pitcher throwing something out. You're hinting or suggesting, you are pitching the baseball. When you infer, you come to a conclusion or you make a deduction. Therefore, you are like the baseball catcher. You are catching that suggestion or that statement, and you are making a deduction or a conclusion from it.
Another common error, says Charles Elster, irregular verbs that are misconjugated.
I can't tell you how often I hear college-educated native speakers of English, even advanced degree people, lawyers, say, I could have ran, I should have went, I would have drank. They know that you run, and they know in the present, and they know that you ran in the past, so they try to regularize the verb a little bit and say, I have ran as a past participle, when it still needs to remain irregular and has to be, I have run. I drink, I drank, and I have drunk, not drank.
Then there's the confusion between effect and effect.
You have to remember that effect with an A is chiefly the verb. That's going to be the verb you need most of the time. When something has an effect on something else, it affects with an A. Effect with an E is chiefly a noun. So when something has an effect, it's going to have an E. So effect, A, verb. Effect, noun, E. Occasionally, effect with an E will be used as a verb. You affect change. That's with an E. But that's much less common than affect, the verb, with an A.
And tell us what you have against irregardless.
Irregardless is probably the most famous, what you might call, non-word in the language. Of course, it is a word because lots of people have used it, and so you'll even find it in English dictionaries, hopefully labeled non-standard, which means not good to use. All you need to say is regardless.
Do you have a particular something in your book or something that, you know, the accident, every time you see it, that just makes you cringe?
If I had to choose one accident that grates more than any other, it's when people say, thinking they're being hypercorrect, between you and I or for you and I. That I is wrong. It should not be a nominative pronoun. It should be the objective pronoun. Between you and me, for you and me. Nobody would say for you and I. It's for me and between you and me.
Charles Elster is the author of The Accidents of Style, Good Advice on How Not to Write Badly.
And that's Wordmaster for this week. You can find a lot more advice at voanews.com/wordmaster. With Avi Arditi, I'm Roseanne Skirbel. And by the way, a lot is two words, a lot.